Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, Attaining the Supreme, text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Mamupecha punarjanma dukalayam shashvatam. Napnuvanti Mahatmana Samsidhin Paramangata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Purported by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally, he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as avyakta and akshara and parama gati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination for the mahatmas, great souls. The mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personalist devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the Supreme Soul. Om Ajnana Timurangasha Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, how much blessed we are by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. How much blessed we are by that. We have this opportunity to actually know who we are and be who we are. Sometimes they say the Hare Krishna movement is a cult, but that's bogus propaganda. Our philosophy is simply know who you are and be who you are. What gentleman would object? My dear sir, we want to tell you who you are so that you can be who you are. Who would object to them? Any gentleman will appreciate, oh, you can tell me who I am and how to be who I am? Very good. So this is the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he has given us his Ajra Vidya, the highest knowledge. But that Raja Vidya, that topmost knowledge, yet to this day remains for 99.9999999% of the population, Raja Guhya, the most secret of all secrets. Why they cannot realize? We have given them so many opportunities. Why they are not realizing? That is one disease known as pride. If one actually wants to realize truth, then one has to become humble. The modern day approach to knowledge is you, by brute force, through scientific research, you will find out through microscopes and telescopes and thisoscopes and netoscopes, you will find out, you will gatecrash your way into the absolute, the realm of absolute truth. But that doesn't work. The security is too tight. If you want to actually realize that absolute truth, then you must qualify yourself. You must get a visa to enter the transcendental dimension. So how does one qualify? You have to become devotee of the Lord. It's not through intellectual endeavor, scientific advancement, you realize the truth. No. You simply have to become humble devotee of God. And then by His mercy, everything becomes revealed. You think it's difficult for Krishna to reveal the truth to anyone? No, it's not difficult. But we have to be ready to hear that truth. That's all. Anyone who is actually ready to hear the truth, not difficult to realize. Not difficult. One simply has to have that eagerness, that enthusiasm, that yes, I want to realize the truth. Let me go to the bona fide spiritual master. Let me go to the bona fide Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Let me read the bona fide scriptures, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Let me take advantage of those resources given to me by the Lord, how I can realize them. Those resources are there, they're available. Anyone who wants to know the truth can realize the truth. The ultimate resource, of course, is Krishna. He's right there in your heart, He's Paramatma, the Super Soul. He is present. And when that supreme, that beautiful, merciful, sweet, nectarian Lord who is residing within the heart, who's riding with us from birth to birth, through our sojourn in this material existence, when He sees that we're actually serious to realize Him, then He'll make the arrangements. He can easily make the arrangements. Do you get more Prabhupada's books, or you meet a devotee, or you meet a bona fide spiritual master? You can easily make the arrangements. We simply have to be sincere. That's the only qualification. It doesn't require any amount of learning, any amount of wealth, any amount of talent. Doesn't require any certain aptitude. It simply requires attitude, that's all. If one has the proper attitude, then Krishna will make all arrangements so you can realize the supreme absolute truth. We simply have to be humble seekers of that absolute truth. And then all knowledge will come to us. So here we are reading about the Mahatmas, the great souls. They are only interested in Krishna and nothing else. The opposite side, that is called Duratma, cripple-minded, greedy, lusty, angry type person. That is, sad to say, that is the general population of the world now. It is a Duratma planet right now. Duratma Earth planet. It's very Duratmic. The whole atmosphere is Duratmic. It's full of people who are cripple-minded, greedy, lusty, angry. But the good news is that actually beneath the Duratma dirt, the Mahatma is actually there within everyone. Every single man, woman, child, and indeed every single living entity throughout this entire universe is actually a Mahatma right now. It is simply covered by many, many layers of lust, anger, greed, pride, etc. So if one can come into contact with association, which is pure, like the books of Srila Prabhupada, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, if one can come in contact with association that is pure, then, as Bhagavad Gita explains, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, one's consciousness is developed according to one's association. If one comes in contact with purified association, then what happens is you become influenced by them. If you associate with Duratma, then you remain Duratma. But if you associate with Mahatma, you become Mahatma. This is why our movement is preaching movement. The greatest of all Mahatmas is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He has come from Vrindavan in the order of his Guru Maharaj Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to give his association with the Dharatmas of this planet. So that we can come out of this hellish quagmire called Dharatma existence and become Mahatma. So as we are becoming Mahatmas by the mercy of Prabhupada and his followers, then we should do our share. Just as we have been helped, then we should do our share to help others. We shouldn't be greedy and selfish. That's just my liberation. Now we should think how we can act in such a way that everyone can become liberated. The whole planet can become liberated. Bhagavatam says that this is meant for revolution, vitplavaha. This is meant for revolutionizing the entire human society. So this is how we have to think. We have very nice prayer we just sang a few minutes ago. In our Nishringa prayers, there are four words which Prabhupada has specifically zeroed in on in one of his purports. Bahir nasingo, tridaye nasingo. Prabhupada has given a very elaborate expansion of the meaning of this prayer. May Lord Nisringadeva, may Lord Nisringadeva dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities, so that my mind may become perfectly clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. Bahir Nisringa, Hridaya Nisringa. Within Nisringa and without Nisringa. The more that we can purify our hearts inside by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, by having nice kirtan, nice prasad, nice devotional service, these things purify the heart. The more we become purified, the more we have, each devotee has a revolutionary impact on the atmosphere of this planet. Each and every one of us has a responsibility for uplifting the global consciousness. And each devotee, according to his or her degree of purity, does have an impact on this planet. Every devotee. It can be a child, can be, you know, brahmachari, brahmacharini, sannyasi, householder. Doesn't matter. Simply according to your purity, how much you're taking shelter of a holy name, you have an impact on this planet. You see? And then the other way too, the more we become enthusiastic for trying to help others, trying to give them these wonderful, wonderful books of Srila Prabhupada, trying to give them the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna and actually become devotees, you see, the more we take up this activity of preaching, then we become pure on the inside. So the idea is you can work it from both ends. You work on purifying yourself, and that makes you more powerful for spreading Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, you work on spreading Krishna consciousness, and that makes you more pure within. So they complement each other. So we work it from both ends. Focus on purifying yourself like anything, and at the same time, focus on doing everything you can to push forward this movement. And those things will just, they'll just feed off each other. And you'll become more purified and more potent, and you'll be so happy that you're able to relish Krishna's name, you're able to get great taste from Krishna's name, at the same time give that mercy to others. You see, as Prabhupada's representative, As Prabhupada is saving us, we can represent Prabhupada and help other people also to get the same mercy that we're getting from His divine grace and His followers and His predecessors. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful process. It's not difficult. Sometimes we think, well, how could I possibly do that? But actually, this process is so sweet, it's so sublime. Just try to get into it, whatever degree you can, and taste the nectar. And you taste that nectar from that degree of involvement in Krishna consciousness. You will think, well, this is so good, I want more of this. Let me get into it more and more and more. In this way, one can just go on increasing, increasing, increasing one's absorption in the service of Krishna unlimitedly. And there's actually no end to how nectarian it can get. There's no limit to how much you can become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Did you know that Krishna is not fully Krishna conscious? It's described that even though he can fully grasp his glories within a second, his glories are expanding unlimitedly at every second. And he cannot even keep up with his own glories to understand how great he is. But he's always trying to catch up with his own ever-expanding glories to understand how great I am. Now don't imitate. He is always trying to catch up with the understanding. So, even Krishna is always trying to increase his Krishna consciousness. And what should our mode of operation be? Our modus operandi. Always trying to increase how I can become more Krishna conscious, more Krishna conscious, more Krishna conscious. At every day, at every minute, every second. Do you know that you should live every day as if it were your last? Do you know why? Because one day it will be. So you have to practice. We never know when death may come. So we want to die in perfect Krishna consciousness. So at every second we must cultivate perfect Krishna consciousness, not mixed Krishna consciousness. Well, the sense gratification is okay. No, we have to minimize to the bare minimum sense gratification and maximize our Krishna consciousness at every minute. We have to show Krishna, my dear Lord, I really want to be your devotee. I really want to give up sense gratification. I really do. I'm not coming to you, my Lord, with a cheating mentality that I make a show of being a devotee and then have so much sense gratification on the side. We have to come to Krishna with full sincerity. Krishna, we cannot hide anything from Krishna. There's no sense trying to hide. We might as well just come clean with the Lord. Admit our fallen nature. Admit that we're lusty. Admit that we're angry. Admit that we're greedy. We're lazy. We're proud. We might as well just admit it. And humbly bow down at the Lord's lotus feet. Lotus feet of Guru Krishna. And beg for their mercy, please save me. I am such a fallen wretch. Please bless me. And please rectify me from my degraded, contaminated mentality. Now that it's come clean and admitted, we're contaminated by lust, anger, and grief. You may say, well, I don't want to think that way. I mean, I'd be so discouraged. I have to think I'm great. Be enthusiastic, but no. The more you become honest before your spiritual master and before the Lord, the more you feel spiritual energy. When we're young, we may have so much material energy. But that's only temporary. Material energy is chamsala, it comes and it goes. So I advise everyone, while you're young, become purely absorbed in Krishna bhakti. In that way, you will never lose your energy. Prabhupada said, a devotee of the Lord, he can, even 80-year-old man, he can work with the energy of a young man. So while you have youthful energy, don't just try to enjoy that in the mode of passion. Utilize that youthful energy in the service of Krishna. Spiritualize your youthful energy. And if you spiritualize it, you will never lose it. And how do you spiritualize it? You use it in the service of Krishna. There's so many nice ways. Kirtan, preaching, mopping the floor, washing the dishes, cutting vegetables, making money, donating money. You see? Telling other people about it. Whatever energy you have, use that for Krishna as much as possible. And you will get more energy, more energy, more energy, more energy. In the material world, the more you give, the less you have. So people are loath to give very much. But in Krishna consciousness, the more you give, the more you get. So that's why a devotee, that's why a great Mahatma like Srila Prabhupada, he understood that he should just give everything to his Guru Maharaj. Every ounce of his energy, every ounce of his heart, every ounce of his intelligence, every minute of his existence must be fully absorbed in serving his beloved spiritual master. And by that total dedication to the order of his spiritual master, Krishna became his personal property. In this material world, everyone's trying to amass so much property. Money, real estate, prestige. But no one can have much for very long. It comes and it goes. But if one will totally sell themselves out to Krishna, to God, Supreme Person, Bhagavan, then what will be the result? When you completely give yourself to Krishna, ananyaschintayanto mam yejana payapasate tesham nichabhiyuktanam yogachemam vaham. If you totally give yourself to Krishna exclusively, I only have Krishna, my Lord, no one else. All of my love is for Krishna, no one else. When you exclusively give everything to Krishna, then guess what? Guess what is the result? Krishna gives you everything. He gives you everything. So one who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness cannot be lacking in anything. Krishna personally provides whatever he needs, materially and spiritually. Everything is given by Krishna, directly given by Krishna. So what are we waiting for? Why are we holding back from this nectar? This is the problem. We're still infected with a causeless unwillingness to surrender ourselves fully at the Lord's lotus feet. How to get out of this dilemma? That's why we need each other. We desperately need each other. Because in the association of devotees, we can always be encouraging each other to come to this platform of complete surrender. We desperately need each other. A Vaishnava cannot function alone. He requires to be in the association of other Vaishnavas. That's why Srila Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. ISKCON, the real meaning of ISKCON is not the buildings, it's not the bank accounts, the vehicles. The real meaning of this movement is the loving relationship between the devotees. That's ISKCON. If I love you and you love me, that's ISKCON. But if we don't know how to love one another, and we're just, you know, coming, sitting in these buildings and not really loving each other, you know, it's not really ISKCON. ISKCON's dead. This kind is alive to the extent that devotees are able to open their hearts and love each other and love the general public also by giving them Krishna consciousness. The more we become loving people, engaged in the six loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami, that is ISKCON. ISKCON is loving relationships, the network of loving relationships amongst the followers of the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. So actually, we have a very simple formula how to attract the entire world to join this movement. We simply have to manifest completely pure loving relationships between each other. Where in this material world do you have pure loving relationships? Everywhere, love is tinged by me-ism. I, me, and mine. Everywhere is tinged. What's in it for me? Calculating. Well, what's in this relationship for me? What can I get out of it? See? Every relationship in this world is polluted by selfishness. That's a thing. Every single relationship. But Srila Prabhupada has given us the framework. He has given us the methodology whereby we can have pure, selfless, loving relationships. To the extent that we can actually manifest this amongst ourselves, to that extent, this movement will grow. That's how it will. We really have to work on our relationships with each other. We really have to get over our interpersonal difficulties and really learn how to love one another, according to Rupa Goswami's sublime, enlightened direction. And if we do that, we'll see the whole world join this movement. Prabhupada told us in 18 days, the whole world could become Krishna conscious. So why it's not happening? Because of our own lack of Krishna consciousness, that's why. Our own selfishness. We simply have to become pure, selfless devotees of the Lord. And devotees not only of the Lord, but devotees of the devotees. You may say, well, I just worship Krishna. No, because that's a verse. I just quoted that verse. But we have, you know, the one who worships only Krishna. But you have to understand that Krishna means not only Krishna alone, but Krishna and his devotees. That is the meaning of Krishna. It is confirmed in the Adi Purana. Krishna says, one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. So if we really want to show Krishna that we love him, we have to show his devotees how much we love them. By sincere service. Vaishnava Seva. It's so important. Bhagavatam says that's how we develop a taste for Krishna Katha. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. Shushu Shrosha Dhamasha Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. The more we can serve the Vaishnavas, especially the advanced Vaishnavas, those who are very pure in their consciousness, especially those Vaishnavas are recommended. The more we can serve those, of course, the Supreme, that is powerful. So we have to always see, am I acting, thinking, and speaking in such a way that Prabhupada is pleased with me? Prabhupada reciprocated. I have seen here, I came to the Panihati festival several years ago during the noon arti on Sunday. The devotees must have been singing with great love in the kirtan because from Prabhupada's bright eye the tears were coming. I saw a person, the tears were coming from the mukti. Prabhupada is actually experiencing bhav. Just as when he came to Atlanta many years ago when he saw the deities, he was choked up with bhav, spiritual immersion. So that same lila or pastime, Prabhupada showed in his murti form several years ago during the Panihati festival. So Prabhupada will reciprocate with us. He will. He's not dead and gone. Prabhupada is present with us. He's just as present now as he was the day that he founded ISKCON at 26 Second Avenue in New York City. Just as present now as he was then. We simply have to read his books, live his books, breathe his books, eat his books, sleep his books, everything Prabhupada's books, distribute his books, live in his books. We have to learn how to live in the pages of Prabhupada's books, that our every thought, every word, and every deed is within Prabhupada's books. These books will revolutionize the world. They will turn history upside down to that. So we, each and every one of us, are meant to become living embodiments of what's written in these books. There is the book Bhagavatam, and there is person Bhagavatam. Do you think Prabhupada wanted that he would be the only person Bhagavatam? You know what he told us in Mayapur? These Vritiks, they say there's only one Acharya in this kind. Only meant to be one Acharya. But Prabhupada told us in Mayapur was that he said that now we are 10,000. And then we will become 100,000. And we'll become 1 million. And we will become 10 million. He said there will be no scarcity of Acharyas. So Prabhupada wanted 10 million Acharyas. This kind of Acharya. At least 10 million this kind of Acharya. So each and every one of us is meant to become Acharya. One who is ideal in their attitude in all times, all places, and all circumstances. If your attitude is ideal, then naturally your words will be perfect and your actions will be perfect. So we are all meant to become Acharyas. Ideal, perfect examples of Srila Prabhupada's instructions and his examples. Perfect representatives of Srila Prabhupada. We are all meant to be perfect representatives of Prabhupada. So now, we're far from it. Let's face the fact. But we should know what our goal is. We should have this aim and this focus and this direction in our lives henceforward. But now, I must purify myself. Become a perfect follower of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. A perfect follower of his followers. So in this way, we will taste the sweetest nectar of every moment. This Krishna consciousness is so sweet thing. We don't require anything else, actually. Nothing else is required. You know that sweet lab jamun? Everyone knows that lab jamun sweet. Yeah. There is oozing that nice sugar juice. But this Krishna consciousness is so nice thing. This Hare Krishna mantra is so nice thing. One pure utterance of Hare Krishna, completely, completely, completely pure utterance of Hare Krishna, contains so much sugar juice that the universe cannot even contain it. It will burst through the universe. It's so powerful. Krishna's holy name. So we can understand how much we must be focusing our energies now to become more and more absorbed in the name, more and more and more and more absorbed in the sweet transcendental flavor of Krishna's name. Many people write me in my e-course. They say, well, I'm chanting, but I'm not getting any, I'm not tasting any nectar. What am I doing wrong? I'm chanting, 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 and it seems mechanical to me. I'm just moving the beads, and nothing's happening. You know, it's just like a struggle for me to get my rounds done. I'm wondering, what am I doing wrong? Sound familiar? So, the real thing is this, that we should not try to enjoy the name, relish the name. We should try to chant the name in such a way that Krishna is relishing our chanting. Don't you try to enjoy your chanting. You try that Krishna will enjoy your chanting. We're not meant to try to be the enjoyers ourselves. We are meant to try to give pleasure to Krishna. The gopis are willing to go to hell if they can cure Krishna's headache. We don't care if we suffer when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Even if by chanting Hare Krishna we go to hell, that's all right. We don't care. We just want that Krishna is pleased. So we take this mood of pleasing Krishna by the utterances we perform of His name on a daily basis. Let me try to chant in such a way that Krishna will really relish hearing my chanting. You think Krishna cannot hear? Krishna can hear every syllable we vibrate in our tongue. So we have to chant in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Oh, how nicely he is chanting my name. With how much love and feeling and focus he or she is chanting my name. This is the goal. If we chant in such a way to please Krishna, then we will taste nectar like anything. We will taste so much nectar, can't even imagine that so much nectar could even exist within the universe. So do not think, well, this process works for some, but I don't think it works for all, because it doesn't work for me. I tried and it didn't work. Well, I have news for you. This process works for everyone. If you work the process will work. If the process is not working, you are not working the process. That's a simple thing. So if you want to taste the sweetest nectar, if you want to be full of peace and happiness and wisdom and overflowing with unlimited love, then I humbly request you, please surrender to Krishna according to the teachings of His Divine Grace. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharya Astatarasa Srishimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we can ask now if there's any questions. You have to speak up. I'm hard of hearing. In old age, hearing is going down. So speak loudly and clearly. Yes.
So you're saying the super soul is in everyone's heart.
Yes.
All living beings. And when someone is sincere, the super soul dies and helps it. So how does that work? And say we're not following the daily process and someone is going to have to take it or whatever. But how do they have
someone who is not following the Vedic process?
Let's say they're following some process, not the Vedic process. So is that access to the super soul?
Everyone has access. The super soul is not a sectarian. Just like in my own case, I was following the Bible. And I could see that Lord Jesus Christ was a fully enlightened spiritual being. And I thought, well, this is what I want. So how can I become a fully enlightened spiritual being? So I was following the path of Christian meditation, studying the Bible every morning, trying to figure out what was it that made Christ that spiritually enlightened being that He was. I was reading the Bible every morning. And one day it hit me. Christ says, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. That's it. Now what does God want me to do? So there was no voice from the sky. That's a good one. I was bewildered. I kept praying, Dear God, please. No, actually, I didn't know what to do. So then one day, at the time I was a singer-songwriter, I was performing, I was performing in front of a vegetarian co-op singing, and nobody was listening except one little girl. And I was a little depressed because of my ego, musician's ego. But she looked, she could see, she said, Don't worry, God can hear you. I went, wow, that was really something special. I think the Lord was speaking to this little girl to me. And he was telling me that now you're wondering what, you're waiting for me to tell you what you want, what I want you to do, but actually why don't you just ask me, because I can hear you. So I said, yes. I started praying, my dear Lord, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. That became my mantra. So I was completely in a Christian context. Totally. Praying to the Lord to guide me how to be his perfect servant. And one day that proverbial knock came on the door. One young lady named Margaret, I was staying with Mike, and his friend Margaret came to the door and she said, oh, there's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. He's be at my apartment in 1 hour. So I went there, and who was there? Lo and behold, His Holiness Vishnu Jananaya. So there I was in a Christian context, you see, praying, meditating on Christ, begging for the mercy to be revealed to me. What is the Lord's direction? What is His guidance? Now what I should do? And He sent Vishnu Jananaya to tell me. And I listened and I understood this is actually the answer to my prayer. Of course, I resisted for a while, you know. But I finally gave in. Took shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet. So it really doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew, a Sikh, a Jain, a Hindu, whatever you may be. If you are sincerely seeking the Lord, He will reveal to you how to surrender to Him. It's a fact. He absolutely will. It doesn't matter what organization you belong to, what church you go to. Krishna is not sectarian. The Supreme Father, whether you call Him Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, Rama, whatever you call Him, He is not sectarian. He is your well-wishing friend. He's sitting in your heart. And He wants you to learn the science of how to revive your lost love for Him. And He will facilitate you if you are serious to do that. That's it. Any other questions? Yes? You can repeat the question for me.
What does sectarian
mean? Sectarian means that, you know, only that my religion is the only way. You know, unless you believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. Or unless you believe in Allah, you're going to hell. That is a sectarian attitude. That unless you belong to my particular church, you're going to hell. You see, that the sectarian attitude is that God only has one name according to my religion. You know, you have to believe in God according to this name of God. Otherwise, you're going to hell. But the fact is, according to our scriptures, that Krishna has unlimited names. He has millions of names. And you can approach the Lord through any of His names. Through Krishna, Jehovah, Allah, Buddha, Rama, Govinda, Shamasundar. He has unlimited names. So this is a non-sectarian understanding of religion. The sectarian understanding is, no, you can only chant this particular name, otherwise you're going to hell. That's a sectarian conception. You understand? Does that make sense? Yeah. Krishna consciousness is non-sectarian, because we understand that God has unlimited names, and you can approach Him through any one of His names, according to your own free choice. We don't say you have to chant Hare Krishna. If someone would rather chant Christ, 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 they can do that. But let them do it purely. You see, in the mood of complete surrender, and willing to give up all sense gratification. That's required. Any other questions? Yes?
So we're actually teaching a science.
That's
how
right.
To progress.
That's right. That's right. He's asking if we're, he's stating or asking. We are teaching a science then? Yes, this is science. Just like when I was a boy in high school, we heard in the lecture in the chemistry course that H2O equals water. So then the teacher took us to the laboratory and we taught us how to mix two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, and lo and behold, right there in the test tube, there was water. That is called science. It's not a make-believe thing, but you can actually go to the lab and you can see the result. It's not blind faith. Generally, what goes on in religion nowadays is blind faith. But Krishna consciousness is not religion in that sense. It is a science. Because we give you the knowledge and then we take you to the laboratory and we show you how to apply the knowledge in such a way that you will directly see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada told me that. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So this is our method. We give you the methodology, the techniques, the tools, everything you need so you can go to the laboratory of self-realization. You can follow the lab manual carefully under the direction of the laboratory instructor, spiritual master. You can go to the laboratory and you can actually directly see Krishna face to face. That is our Krishna consciousness science. It's not faith. It's not blind faith. It is faith. But it is faith based on knowledge. Not blind faith. So, our time has run out, but yes, go ahead.
But you still have to think and feel a lot for yourself that
and you amp it up for me.
Direction. I mean, not blindly, but still, you have to still do some sort of feeling and thinking and stuff like that yourself.
Actually, Krishna consciousness means you must really, you must fully activate thinking, feeling, and willing. What's the question?
You're saying, in other words, you have a personal responsibility to think, although you're accepting instruction from a bona fide spirit and master, still you have to use your intelligence. Correct?
Yeah. Now, our system is that you must activate your rationality. You see, in the modern day society, we're actually conditioned to become blind followers. Krishna consciousness means to become free of this conditioning of being blind follower and actually learn how to think. This is called Gamana. One who is, it's also, Prabhupada also says, this word Paramahamsa means the most intelligent class of persons in the universe. So our program is to teach you how to fully awaken your intelligence, how to fully utilize your intelligence, not just, you know, 1% of it, but how to completely activate 100% of your intelligence. This is our process. Yeah. And Prabhupada clearly explains in the Bhagavad Gita purport, in this Krishna consciousness process, blind following is condemned. One is meant to put forward all inquiries for full rational understanding. So I'm always completely open to any and all questions, even ones that you're afraid to ask. You're welcome to ask me everything without any inhibition, because we can explain everything in such a way that your intelligence will become fully satisfied. Every single detailed aspect, we can give you full satisfaction for your intelligence, so that it will make sense to you. You will actually realize it on your own, not just taking it, you know, blindly from someone else. You will have your own personal realization of God if you follow this process as it is. So, we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much. Anybody wants to enroll in my free e-course, simply go to backtohome.com. www.backtohome.com. You can sign up for my free e-course.